Okay. Are we good? This meeting is being recorded, and the audio post will be posted on the OA Virtual Region website and also here on OA Footsteps as one of our podcasts. If you do speak at this meeting, it is considered an implied consent to have your voice and your share recorded and posted. To preserve your anonymity, please only use your first name or an alias when you do share. We'd like to welcome everyone to this workshop that's part of the Virtual Region Convention of Many Languages, One Virtual Recovery, and to our OA Footsteps virtual Zoom platform, which is home of our regular meetings of Readers Anonymous. Today's topic is using the tools in the virtual world. My name's Alex, and I'm the compulsive eater, and I'm your leader for this meeting. I think I'm speaking too, so multitasking. So I'd ask everyone to unmute yourselves. Please join us in the Serenity Prayer. We would welcome you to share it in your native language, if you wish, to truly celebrate the diversity of this global community. Can I get somebody to unmute all? Okay. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Sorry, that was me muting myself there. Lisa, can I get you to read our OA's Unity with Diversity policy, please?
Sure. As we extend the heart and hand of OA fellowship to those who still suffer, let us be mindful of OA's Unity with Diversity policy, which respects our differences, yet unites us in the solution to our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting, regardless of race, creed, nationality, religion, gender identity, sexual orientation, or any other trait.
Thank you so much. Colin, can I get you to read our OA preamble?
Absolutely. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer.
Thank you so much. Janet P., if I could get you to read the 12 steps and the tradition of the month, please.
Okay, 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a higher power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in our affairs. Sorry, which tradition?
The tradition of the month is the sixth one.
Six, Yeah. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So this is, using the tools in the virtual world, we're just so excited to have you guys here at this amazing virtual event. We welcome you here to our home, which is OA Footsteps Virtual Intergroup. Our intergroup started just over a year ago on April 14th, 2019, when three of us met for our very first meeting on Zoom. And we cried because we'd been meeting on a text-based meeting over at 12 Step for Codes. And it was the first time we actually got to see each other's faces. And it was just this reunion of family. And we bawled. I'm sorry, I'm digressing from my script. That's okay. And then we did the reading for that day, right, from Voices of Recovery. And if you have the book and want to have a look at it, it's on April 14th. The first part of it says, "We gratefully follow in the footsteps of many others who have walked this way before us, and we're gratified to be making footprints of our own for others to follow." Now, we are just so privileged to have, we've contacted the World Service Office, and they've given us permission to actually use the entire page on our front of our website, because it's actually our mission statement. It's not just a page from a book. It's just so important to us. So I just need to find the little chat room window there, and I'm just going to post a link to our front page if anybody wants to read the page from Voices of Recovery in full. We just posted that there. We're now home to over 45 Zoom meetings per week, and we're adding all the time. Our capacity is 84, so it's filling up really quickly. We have a number of non-mealtime meetings on WhatsApp and Facebook. Some are special focus, some are just general. Because of our unique position as a virtual intergroup of meetings on multiple platforms that was in place long before this current crisis, and we'll be here long after, we were asked to share how we're using the tools of the program in the virtual world. So of course, the OA tools recovery help us work the steps and refrain from compulsive overeating. And tools are planned eating, sponsorship, meetings, telephone, writing, literature, and action plan, anonymity, and service. And these tools help us achieve and maintain abstinence and recover from our disease. The virtual world of fellowship has developed so rapidly over the last few months, especially, but has been available to members for many years on a wide variety of platforms. We have a few speakers lined up, yay, to share how they have been able to use the tools on some of these platforms and how that has benefited their recovery. Today our workshop speakers, and myself is included as one of them, will be speaking for 10 minutes each. And this is where we need a timer. And just, speaker, before you start, just let them know what your timing is. And then we'll have time for questions afterwards. Sorry, I didn't hear. Was that somebody said something?
I can do the timer if you'd like.
Thank you, Amy. Perfect. Awesome. Wonderful. So, and then afterwards, we'll do some questions at the end. And so, first of all, introducing Cullen. I can stop the share. Cullen is our current acting chair of OA Footsteps Virtual Intergroup, and she also leads two meetings a week here in, not this room, I'm sorry, it's another room, and I'll post the other room link before the meeting ends. She's at Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, she does a topic meeting, and Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, she does a 12-step study. Wonderful. Okay, now I'm going to stop the share. Just have to figure out how to stop the share. There it is. Okay, over to you, Cullen. Thank you.
Oh boy, I get to go first. Thank you so much. Amy, if we're talking for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, could I have a 5 minute warning and then a 1 minute warning?
Sure.
Thank you so much. Okay, well, hi everybody. My name's Cullen. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic, and I am really thrilled to be here. I think it's such a fascinating and specific thing to look at, right? How do we use these tools now that all of our meetings are virtual right now? So I came into OA about 2 years ago, and I actually moved from New York to Mexico in August. So I had sort of like a mini quarantine of just of isolation because I moved into a place where I didn't speak the language. And I had left all the meetings that I knew so well and the community that I'd, you know, found my abstinence with. And it was very hard for me to leave my house by myself. And I was just really scared. So it was a very similar experience to the quarantine that I think we've all been going through these past couple months. And I got to say, I really did have this fear and this worry and a little bit of a belief that like online things weren't going to be as impactful as I'd found them to be in person. But I knew that I still needed to go to meetings. I knew that I needed to stay connected or I was going to lose my abstinence. And so I think that first tool that I really picked up was meetings and coming to these online meetings. And I was so grateful to stumble into an OA Footsteps meeting and just, and gotta say, when I first came in, they were tiny meetings. They were like 5 to 10 of us maybe meeting. And I was so scared and intimidated because very intimate and I didn't expect that. But to still have the same 12 steps, the same 12 traditions, that it was really consistent. The literature was the same, even if we were approaching it from a virtual meeting. And which leads very nicely into service. After a couple months of going to those meetings, I think Alex had been running both of those meetings and then her schedule changed and she couldn't do any anymore. So the second I was like kind of comfortable in those meetings, Alex approached me and said, could you, or just ask in the meeting, can someone take this over? And it was like that little God voice was like, you can take it out. You know, you can, you know, you're available Tuesday afternoons. And I did have a little bit of resistance to doing that service. And I'm so glad I said yes. I was like, because I knew I was on the list of tools. You give service when you can, even when you don't want to. And I really didn't want to. But it has been so wonderful because I have a commitment now to come to the meetings, to look at everyone, to not kind of hide with my camera off, which I needed in the beginning. I really did. But to do that service, to hold the space, to think about the script, to really make sure everyone was welcome, to look people in their virtual eyes anyway, and just to start to feel that connection. And I needed that service. And then again, when there was a Wednesday night meeting, she's like, oh, I can't do this one anymore. Like, I know I had such a good experience with the Tuesday one. Fine. I'll do it on Wednesday too. And again, like dragging my feet the whole way, but it is what has really, really helped my recovery when I have a disease that wants me isolated and I have a disease that wants me on the couch watching Netflix all day and ignoring everything, to have commitments in my at least two hours a week. I know I'm going to be abstinent and I'm going to be thinking about something other than myself and my own comfort. And I need that. I need that in my recovery. And I got to say with the, I think anonymity has also been interesting in an online setting, right? In this virtual setting, there's something about turning on my camera in the beginning that felt really intimate and overwhelming. And so the first couple of meetings I did have my camera off. I think I needed that so that I could listen. If I felt like I was watching my own face, I was so distracted by the performance of it, I guess, that having the option to be totally anonymous, to take my name off it completely if I needed to, gave me a little more permission to be emotionally present. And I think that's a great tool that we have. I know some meetings require people to type in why they have their cameras off, or at least show their face, just, you know, for reasons of security. And I think that's a tricky balance, right? Anonymity and security. But I really like it. I like being able to set boundaries, right? That this is my recovery and I get to judge how present I need to be each day, really. You know, and some days you're a mess and you just need to be crying on your floor while you listen to the meeting. And that's okay. I think that's a really wonderful gift of...
5 minutes, Colin.
Thank you so much, of this virtual reality that, like, you can be exactly where you are emotionally and physically, and you can still come to the meeting. I don't have any meetings around me that are in my native language. So to have access to the entire world of OA meetings has been such a gift right now. It's funny that I still find the telephone can be the hardest thing for me to pick up. I'm ready to jump into a meeting, but making a phone call, I never want to do it. And I always feel so much better once I do. And it's funny because I have way more numbers ever from the whole world over. And yet it's still very challenging. What's been great about this virtual setting though, is I can share my number and people call me now, which is wonderful because then I don't have to dial the number. I just have to click accept. Which again, I think is like giving service, right? It helps me get out of myself and listen to what someone else is going through and to choose that I'm going to connect with someone else. It's really, really important for me to stay abstinent and to not be in the food, right? I have found also writing to be, just through my whole recovery, to be, I think, the most impactful tool, I would say. I can lie really well to myself when I'm in my head, and I've gotten really good at sort of being a mirror image of what other people want. But something happens when I write, it's like I can just, my bullshit meter, I think, is a little more attuned. Like I can tell when I'm pretending when I'm writing, and I know when I'm really getting to something that's real. And I think that's been one of the most profound aspects of recovery, is just being able to tell the truth to myself and to other people and not having to run away from it. Just to say, yeah, this is where I am today. This is what's going on. It might not be pretty and I might not like it, but that's the reality of it. And I know something about writing just helps me detangle those knots a little bit more. And having sort of a 10th step check and just identify it, to have a process by which I can write it out. Like, what am I resenting? What am I angry about? What's the cause? Why? What's my part? And what would God have me do? For me, it's much easier to hear my higher power when I do write letters to God. And I often will write a response back just from whatever the kindest, gentlest, most loving voice would tell me. And I've found that to be really, really healing, to just get to really ask for what I want and have a loving voice respond. It's not something I always had growing up. So it's being able to write it out and have it, and it helps me feel it a little more deeply. I'd also say sponsorship has been very interesting in these virtual settings. I had one sponsee when I was back in New York. It was very hard to, even though we lived in the same city, it could, you know, be an hour and a half commute to get to each other. And now I have three sponsees, none of whom I've met in person, but who I feel so close to. I think that's something I've been very surprised by in the virtual meetings and in virtual communications, is just how close I can feel to people who I've never met in person. So we will send WhatsApps to each other. The voice messaging is very useful for that, just to stay in contact throughout the day. And again, like having someone where it's not like I'm their teacher, right? I'm not saying like, oh yes, I'm so much better at being, you know, I thank you so much, Amy. But to get to keep going through the steps with somebody, like someone handed me this just a little bit before, I now get to hand it to you. And I've needed these people who showed, you know, they showed up exactly when I needed them and when I was the right person for them. And it's been such a beautiful experience to have contact with all the steps, and again to just get out of my own head and get more interested in what's going on with somebody else, so that I'm not sitting on the couch all day, or at least, even if I am sitting on the couch, at least I'm talking to somebody else about the steps, which is really useful. So I'm really glad that everyone is here and that I can be here and talk and now listen to the other speakers and then listen to the shares and questions that you all have. Thank you for letting me speak with you today.
Thank you so much, Colin. That was so
beautiful. I'll put my number in the chat also.
Perfect. Okay, our next speaker is Lisa G. She's also one of the leaders. She runs the body image meeting, which is held on Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also she co-leads 12-Stepping a Problem meeting, which is on Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. So it is over to you, Lisa. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. Thank you, Colin. And Amy, if you could, I'll take a 5-minute warning and a 1-minute warning, just like Colin did.
Sure.
Thank you, everyone, for coming today. My name is Lisa. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict. I am coming up on 4 years in program and abstinent, and that would be on July 5th, which is quite exciting. I get a little nervous each time when the anniversary rolls around, and I'm like, what am I doing? But I am really happy with my growth and with little by little, my first sponsor used to say, that's one of the promises in the book. And they would just creep up and I'd be like, oh my God, I really am progressing and I really am healing. And it's really nice to see some of the promises in the big book come to fruition. So today I'm really glad to be able to talk to you because about 95% of my journey has been virtual. So this is exciting to talk about the tools as it applies in the virtual world, because for me, it's pretty much all virtual. And it's not because I didn't have access to other meetings. It's because I was a late night person. So I would need meetings in different time zones, like more later on. And that's how I got involved. I came to OA.org and entered online meetings. And that's how I got started. And it was really great over a year ago to find out that OA Footsteps came about and that we could actually do Zoom meetings and see each other. And it's been really wonderful. And especially to have that infrastructure in place before, obviously, the pandemic and isolation, where now we welcome everyone. And yes, we're here to stay even afterwards. So I wanted to just touch base on four tools today that are kind of my favorites, even though I do know that I've been told, I used to ask people, well, what tool, should I work on and things like that. And my sponsor would say, well, we do all the tools. The tools are like the handrails to the steps. So I wanted to talk today about plan of eating, plan of action, writing, and sponsorship. So a plan of eating for me, sometimes I do get that confused with the overall definition of abstinence, and abstinence is refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while maintaining or aiming to maintain a healthy body weight. So sometimes I will talk about how my abstinence is and how I want to tighten up my abstinence, but really what I'm referring to is a plan of eating. So a plan of eating for me, I had to get clear in the beginning, what were my binge foods? What were my food triggers? And I had to really write everything out and get clear. And then I came up with my sponsor and my higher power. We came up with a plan of eating, which for me entailed what foods I was going to refrain from and what kind of behavior I was going to set forward. So what I would do is I would write out my food plan each day and send it over to my sponsor. And it wasn't so much what was in that plan, it was just the fact that I had to stick to that plan. And if I had a change, then I would have to text or send a WhatsApp message to my sponsor and then just go about it that way. So for me, it was the accountability. So whatever I said was going to be in the plan, I would have to, just be accountable to that. And if I didn't, my old thing was I would just be grazing and I would be pretty much eating the entire day nonstop. So that grazing, I learned that word in program. and basically, not only do I not want to be binging, but I also don't want to be grazing where I have no on-off switch. I need an on-off switch. And the next one that I wanted to talk about was plan of action. If I didn't have a plan of action, I'm telling you right now, I would not have survived this time of pandemic and isolation and lockdown. I'm unemployed because I'm in the service industry. My days would just be all mushed together, and that in itself would be a blow-up trigger for me. So I write out a plan of action every single day And I do send most of the time to my sponsor. She also asks me to do something which I include in my plan of action is called three things, or I call it three things. And one thing I want to do for myself today, one thing I'm going to make sure I do for another person so I get out of myself. And then the third thing is going to be something that I don't want to do. And that one's a big one for me because I'm a big procrastinator and I'll sit there and move my plan of action from one day to the next. And so usually I'll pick the I'll pick the thing I want to do the least and make sure that I attach that to my sponsor. But again, it's that accountability. It's that turning over something to my sponsor every day. Plan of eating, plan of action. Without them, I would really be lost. And it would, when I find myself like going into a zone where I'm starting to get lost, I have to come back to the plans. Planning. So plan of eating, plan of action. And the other thing that is one of my favorite things to do absolutely is writing. So we have in our program in step 10, we have a spot check inventory. And I love doing a spot check inventory because if I get aggravated in my day, which I'm sure, you know, happens a little bit less now thanks to program, but at least I can write about it. I could get my resentments on paper. I could get my fears on paper. I could get my part. What is my part? And put that down on paper. And that is a spot check in the moment. So whenever that happens in the moment, I can resort to that, that tool of writing within the realm of spot check inventory. But we also have step 10 inventory, which is the daily reflection. For me, it's at the end of the night. And I think, you know, what happened during the day? Did I resent anybody? Did I make somebody else mad? Do I have amends to do? So it's kind of a check-in. Was I regretting anything today? Was I remorseful? Was I getting on myself, you know, self-pity and those kind of things, which I might tend to do. So that gives me a chance to clear myself for the day. And of course, writing with a step four, which I'm in the middle of my second step four, of course, procrastinating it. But writing is a big one. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. This is 12 o'clock whistle where I am. It'll go off in a second. But For the writing of the step four inventory, that will that always helps me because I get to write down again all my resentments, how it's affecting me, what is my part in that, and where I can move forward. So again, that's a big one. And also, I do a writing meditation in the morning, which is basically a check-in and getting everything off of my chest for the day. And that's really helpful as well. And the last thing I wanted to just touch base on is sponsorship. I remember when I was so hesitant in getting a sponsor because I was just so scared to ask anybody. And finally, after like a month or two, I happened to be in a small intimate meeting and, you know, somebody could sponsor and I needed a sponsor. So it was a match. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Thank you so much. She's like, don't thank me. This is a two-way street. And I didn't get that until later on in the program. But this definitely goes two ways. My sponsees help. They help me probably more than any kind of guidance I give them. So it's truly a wonderful gift. And I just want to touch base that in online meetings, there is definitely a shortage sometimes of sponsors. And so we do tend to have sponsorship workshops and reach out. This convention is wonderful because there's so many people coming in from all the different regions. We're under region 10, which is the virtual region. Well, it goes by the virtual region. It doesn't have a number. Within that umbrella, there's 14 virtual intergroups and OA Footsteps is one of those intergroups. And so for us to reach out to other people when it comes to sponsorship is really a wonderful thing. Right now we have that resource. But if I still have time, I'd like to touch base on two things that OA, that we're trying to work on. One is a brand new guide that came out. It's called the Guide for Temporary Sponsors, Helping a Newcomer Through the First 12 Steps. This just came out from OA to help people be a temporary sponsor for the first 12 days for
one
a
minute,
newcomer.
Lisa.
Thank you so much, Amy. And this would be utilizing an OA pamphlet that you can get online, which is called Where Do I Start? So this is something new, and we're probably going to have another sponsorship workshop down the road, and we could get more into that. And then the other thing is something called Step Studies, and OA Footsteps every Wednesday, I believe it's at 3 o'clock, has a starter meeting for anybody that wants to lead these small study groups to help people who maybe don't have sponsors yet, or maybe they do and they just want to do that work, that detailed work. Another thing I always suggest for people that don't have sponsors is to maybe get a recovery buddy and to get started that way. So those are the things that that I feel most passionate about. I wanted to share that with you. I'm really happy to be here today, and that OA Footsteps is part of the Virtual Regions Convention. We are part of the Virtual Region and part of the Virtual Region Convention. So thank you everybody for doing service by being here. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa. So glad of that. I'm just going to do that. And I guess I have to do this. Ooh. I'm big. Okay, so hi, I'm Alex, and I'm a compulsive overeater from Stratford, Ontario in Canada. I'm actually coming up to my 2 years mark as well. On August 3rd is my 2 year abstinence day. I've already lost a significant amount of weight. I still have a long ways to go, but I don't weigh myself. I don't measure that way at all. I know it's going to come off. I'm working the steps really hard with my sponsor, and I know it'll happen. But aspects of my health have already been restored to me kind of miraculously in the course of this last 2 years. I was type 2 diabetic coming in, insulin dependent. And once I started the course of abstinence that I'm on now, within 3 months, I was off of my insulin. My sugars were bottoming out. And 3 months later, I was off of all the rest of my diabetic medication. And I'm still struggling with other chronic issues. I always have. I've had them. I collapsed at work back in 2009 and was unable to work after that because of just acute sensitivities, environment, these sorts of things. Which only accentuated the disease. It further isolated me. I've been in social isolation since 2009, only going out for essential appointments and basic shopping. It was 2018 when I finally got myself to my very first OA meeting. And I actually went to the face-to-face meeting, which of course made me really ill, but it didn't matter. I was so desperate to be among people that got me. I actually kept going week after week after week after week, and they were lovely, and I felt at home and really felt connected to that group. But I would go, and then I would be so sick just from all the exposures and things for the next 3 or 4 days that I would just finally kind of get recovered. This was a meeting, it was on Sunday, and by about Wednesday, Thursday, I'd be kind of back on my feet again, only to go to the meeting again the next Sunday. And this was a cycle that went over and over and over again. And it was just, but meanwhile, I had discovered online meetings. It was a couple of different places, but 12 Step for COS was one of the main ones. And it was all MIRC chat, texting. There's no voice or images, but what I loved about that is my face-to-face group only met once a week. And I needed a lot more than that. I needed so much more than that. I needed, they talk about 30 and 30 or 90 and 90. I needed 542 and 90. Like I could not go. I was going to 4 to 6 meetings every single day because I could not function. Talk about using a tool. Like I lived in meetings and I started leading just on the text-based chats and got to know people really well, felt part of a fellowship. And then when I was so depleted, I couldn't keep going to my face-to-face. I finally had to make the transition over to, the online virtual meetings entirely. And continued on for a while. And then there became this opportunity to do this first meeting, which sort of changed our... We're all here today in this room because of that, and we'll be here for long after. So I'm just so grateful that y'all came and joined me. I've been here on my own, socially isolated for way too long. It's about, welcome world. Don't go. Please don't go. We're here. So that was what I wanted to talk about, meetings and just how critical they are to our recovery. That's as a tool. I couldn't do it on just once a week anyways. Like, I'm glad I would have had to do combination of real time and online to really get my recovery under my feet. I don't think I would have been able to do it without it. Like, it really was the tool. What else was I going to talk about? You can tell we're not really splitting them up, the tools. We're just sort of choosing our favorites, we decided. That was the theme today. So I'd like to talk about action planning. I am a bit of a doer. I do everything. I don't even make lists, but I have lists in my head, and I have pieces of paper all over the place of all the trillions of things that I am trying to do in a day, and trying to do all perfectly, of course. And coming into programs taught me that that might be a bit compulsive of me to do that. And so, would you believe this is the new improved Alex? Don't laugh, everybody. So I actually came up with a strategy last summer that's really helped me. And I'm going to share it because it's all about action planning. I used to do to-do lists, like they were going out of style. And especially trying to get into the idea of action planning and planning out what I needed to do for my recovery, everything. But it was still making me crazy because I would write everything down on this list and then suddenly everything becomes important. And my brain just didn't know how to prioritize what was the most important thing to do on that list. So I prayed about this. I prayed really, really hard. And I came up with a new strategy. So I threw out the idea of doing to-do lists. I do not do. I am sworn off. I'm abstinent from to-do lists, okay? I do to-God lists. And I write down anything that comes up that needs to be done, I write it down on my to-God list, and I just write it down. I'm not trying to plan it out or make a decision about it or figure out how I'm going to incorporate that into my life, my day, my year, my life. I'm just writing it as a prayer almost to God. So that's my to-God list. And then when I wake up in the morning, that's when I do my today lists. And I sort of bypass the whole what I'm doing and give it to God one day at a time. And the strategy started to work for me in a funny way. I think I've accomplished great things in my life. And I don't quite know how. Did I mention I'm writing a book at the same time and all of this? Like, it's crazy how much I can do with the help of my higher power. And I am working through the steps again with my current sponsor, I'm so grateful for. I feel like I kind of skimmed the surface a little bit as I tried to piece it together the first year. And now I've got the most amazing sponsor. Oh, I should talk about sponsors. At least it's already really covered that really well. I shouldn't crosstalk, but I don't really have much around it except please, if you're an available sponsor, we have sponsees that need you. No, I think actually I'm not going to go to sponsors because I think it was covered really well. But the one I would love to talk about before I finish this off was, give me a 7 or 8 minute warning just so I know when to wind up. I'm sorry I didn't say that at the beginning. So I'd like to do literature, because that's been really difficult to navigate in the virtual world. I mean, when you're at a meeting, you walk into the face-to-face meeting, and they've got all these books around there. They're willing to share their copy. What time is that? Sorry?
You have 3 minutes.
Okay, perfect, perfect. You walk into a meeting, and there's all this literature lying around. You can buy your books. You can borrow a book, and you can read from it, or people will share their book with you. And it's it's part of the sense of community that happens about literature. And I was so excited when I saw these. I mean, I'm all about books, right? Give me books. I buy books. You would not believe the amount of books I have in this house. But translating that to a virtual realm was more difficult because, I mean, you're dealing with really real issues like copyright and how do you get that same ambience of a meeting in a virtual realm with the literature, because the literature is really the heart of it. And I'm so glad that, COVID-19 really helped definitively make that real for us, what we can do. And I mean, we shouldn't be screen sharing. We shouldn't be posting images of our texts. And I mean, I admit, I did it myself. Like, I didn't know that that wasn't cool. And now we do. So we definitely try to encourage our leaders to just read from the literature and at share at meetings the same way we do. And we encourage our members to buy the literature themselves. We offer links. You know, we've got all sorts of different ways of trying to make it easier for our members to attain that literature for themselves, rather than actually sharing the literature and taking it that away from this whole fellowship that we love so much. And I actually have a link to post to you guys. If you haven't seen this already, it's a copyright link. I'll post it before the meeting ends. Not copyright. It's basically how to transition from face-to-face to virtual. And it gives all sorts of wonderful suggestions in that letter from OA.org. And one of them was about the literature, which was particularly relevant to us. Because we'd already kind of covered some of the other points because we are already virtual. And I just want to reassure you guys that we are here. We do amazing meetings. We've got everything from 100 plus to men's meetings, women's meetings, LGBTQ and friends meetings. We've got body image, step studies, 12-stepping. And we're going to post the link to our schedule before we end this meeting as well, so that you can go through all of that and see if you want to just drop in and see. We'd love to have you. And I think that's me. I could probably go on for another hour, but I will shut up now, I promise. Okay, yeah, so we'll put our contact details in there. I'll do that before the end of the meeting as well. But what we're gonna do now is, let me just open this up again, just to share, just to see what our next thing is. So sorry.
We were going to open the floor to questions. Is that right, Alex?
That's what we're going to do. I just didn't have it up in front of me. I'm so sorry. No, that's not it. Okay, so we are going to open the floor to questions. Before we do that, I'm so sorry. There we go. Just to ensure that we have an orderly meeting with maximum utilization of our time, we're going to have a few guidelines for everybody to follow. Please keep your phone or computer muted unless you have recognized and are speaking. You can do this by clicking on the mic image or by toggling with *6 on your phone to put your to speak or not speak. If you're on the phone, you can use *9 to put your hand up. Please feel free to utilize the chat feature if you're on the computer. We can post questions in the chat and we'll make every effort to get to all of them as well. And also, if you're in need of sponsor or willing to sponsor, please leave contact information there so we can either share it verbally at the end of the workshop to people that might not be able to see the chat. It's also handy to keep a notebook handy. If you find someone who has an idea you're interested in, you might want to contact that person for more information, or alternatively, there is a save chat function that's found at the three dots and the chat box. This workshop will close after an hour, but afterwards the room will be open for a few minutes to get names and contact information. And we ask people not to eat or on the camera or speaker mic for the duration of the meeting, although beverages are permitted. So the floor is open. And we have, I'm so sorry, my camera's off. We have Linda J. Would you like to start us off?
Can you hear me now?
Do you have a question? Yeah, do you have a question?
Yes, I just had a comment. My name is Linda J. And I'm a compulsive eater. I'm from the Chicago area. But I started doing virtual meetings a few years ago because I started having eye trouble. So I'm a member, well, actually I'm part of the virtual intergroup. It's called Region 9 WhatsApp meetings. These are all non-real-time meetings. And I posted how to be a part of these loops. It's in the chat box. We have 7 meetings. There's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They're like regular meetings. We have a men's meeting, we have a French meeting, and we have a big book study meeting. And so that information is in there, plus my information. But I sure appreciate this meeting, and I'll be in touch with you so that we can kind of work together about how to move forward. We even have that letter about copyright posted at the beginning of every meeting, which is, yeah, it's awkward with literature. And thank you for all the speakers. I really appreciate it. Done.
Thank you so much for your share. And Lucy H., do you have a question?
Yes, hi, I'm Lucy. I'm a compulsive reader. I'm really grateful for this session and for the entire virtual convention. I only attend online or in virtual means, in non-real time and Skype and Zoom and such like, because there are no meetings near to me. So I just wanted to start by saying that there are many people like me out here who wouldn't have the OA experience without the virtual setting and meetings. So thank you very much for putting all this together. My question was for Cullen and for, thanks Alex, for Cullen and anyone else of the speakers who might have some wisdom to offer. I also struggle with the phone, and I'm part of a WhatsApp outreach group, and so I see all the messages come through, and I've responded to a couple, and I posted my first outreach request this week, and I know that part of the issue that I have is my own character defect around perfectionism, and I want to do it right. I'm not sure what it is, and I'm not sure what right is, like, but I guess what I'm looking for is some inspiration or some wisdom on why would you pick up the phone, or why would you ask for outreach? How would you respond to someone that asks for outreach, and maybe some experience, strength, and hope on your experience with the using the phone? Thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's a wonderful question. Thank you so much. We have a WhatsApp group that is for outreach, basically, so people can type in when they're looking for outreach. And I find that to be really helpful because texting is so much easier for me first before picking up the phone. So if I can kind of start with that, it's easier to get into the phone call. I've also found like having a couple people that I feel really close to in program and like starting to build, even if it's just one person who I call, it helps me, if it feels a little safer, right? It's like, oh, I know this person, it's okay. And I can call them. I also found very useful when I first came into the program, my sponsor had me call three people to ask about their higher powers. And all of them after about 5 minutes said, okay, I'm going to let you go on to the rest of your day. And like, that is such a great phrase to use when you're like, I don't want this phone call to last forever. And I don't know how to get off the phone. And so I know I can just say like, I don't want to keep you all day. I want to let you go. Just wanted to check in. Like having that, that very polite, loving out, I think helped my addict brain, where it was so scary to make the call because I thought it's never going to end, or I'm going to do something bad and I'm going to get stuck in it. And just to know like, great, I'm just calling to check in to say hi, and then I can release them onto the rest of their day. It's okay. And it can be very much a two-way street. I don't have to hold them there until I'm done, and I don't have to feel held there. It's okay. And I think knowing that helped me go into the calls where I've just felt, I've never gotten off of an outreach call feeling worse. I've always felt better. I always feel better when I pick up the phone, and I never believe I'm going to, but evidence is that 100% of the time I feel, I don't know, like a little more alive and out of my head and in my body and connected to another person. So I'm going to see if one of the other speakers wants to speak on that as well, but great question.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Thanks. So funny is that I will never forget the first phone call I made. I was petrified and I literally was like shaking. I don't know. It's so funny to me because I'm, you know, I can be an outgoing person, and I could also be a very isolated person, but I'll never forget that call. And it changes your whole demeanor when you reach out and you talk to somebody. And I remember later checking in with that person and being like, oh my God, you were the first person. She didn't even remember. That's how many outreach calls that she did, but it didn't even bother me because I remembered, and because I just wanted to say you're not alone. And I've also heard from mentors of mine to try to do 3 outreach calls a day. And I think that you can leave a time frame of this is my availability. And also what's really powerful is just calling them. And if they don't answer, leave a message. You know, that's really nice for that person to receive the message. And it feels just as good just to say, hi, you know, I'm just calling. I just want to say, how are you? Those 3 words saved my life in OA. How are you? If people didn't do that for me in the beginning, I wouldn't even really be here today to talk about that. So thanks.
Thank you so much. And I just reiterate what they just said. I remember when I first came, I was maybe a couple of weeks into the face-to-face meetings part, and I got a phone call out of the blue from an old timer, like she'd been in the program for years and years and years. And I thought, me? She's calling me? Like, I was so, like, why would somebody want to call me? You know, I just felt really like, wow, maybe I have, it's like footsteps, maybe I have something to walk into here. Like I felt it gave me some sense of worth. And that feeling is what prompts me to make the calls that I do or to reach out. And it doesn't even have to be phone calls. It could be just a little message on WhatsApp or an email or something interesting I heard at a meeting. And, you know, I just passed it, like, just like a little, not sharing what happened in a meeting, but just like I write down the little notes of things that inspire me from meetings and sharing that along the way and just sort of saying, you know, just letting people know that I'm thinking about them and that I'd love to hear them if they want to share back. So any other questions? Did we miss any in chat? Is there anything in there that...
I'll just add one more thing on the outreach calls, since we're waiting while people think of questions. Yeah. Lucy, I my sponsor also reminded me that it doesn't just have to be people in program. You know, I could call a member of my family and I'll also ask them, how are you? And I think, again, that was a little easier for me to pick up the phone sometimes. I do like that kind of benchmark of 3 calls a day. I very rarely hit that, but it's a good goal. And sometimes it's easier to like call my aunt or call my mom or my dad and just say, how are you? Let me check in with you and not just call you so that I can tell you all about my day, but just to reach out and see how they're doing them. And that just sort of expanded the options for me and helped me get into it a little bit more.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Okay. Well, we still have about 3 or 4 minutes. What I could do is I'll run through our basic announcements and stuff like that. Just take a minute or two. And if we have still a minute or so, then we could do a gratitude shout out or something just to fill in the space. We'll figure out what we want to do then. Okay, so I share the screen once more. And I'm not going to go through it. Usually in the meeting, we will spend quite a bit of time going through the announcements. But what I want to do is I'm just going to post the link to our announcement page and a few of the key links for this. Here is the link to our announcements page if you want to bring it up and actually read through it yourselves. This is a hub for our community. It tells you, you know, when our meetings are. You can click on that, and this is actually our meeting schedule. An interesting thing, depending on where you are in the world, if you go down this column here and you want to go to this literature meeting with Alex on a Monday morning at 7, these are all in Eastern Standard Time, but if you click on it, it will take you to whatever your local time is. It will show you that there. So that's just a little handy trick if you don't know that already. We have our list of non-real-time meetings growing quickly all the time there. So you could join any one of these meetings by clicking on the link. We have a newcomers packet that we have put up. One of our members diligently put this together for our newcomers, which is quite cool. And we have one of our other members is sending out the newcomer. We do chips. Did we tell you we do chips? But we do newcomer chips with the how do you start, which I've got here somewhere, the how do you start pamphlet. We send that out to new members. So if you're interested, you can always send an email to newcomer@oafootsteps.com and Diana will get that out to you. We are always looking for people to join our web team. It's a growing concern. And we got a few new people coming in, which is awesome. So we're looking for new leaders. Some of our meetings still need reps. So we're looking for reps. We are looking for stories. If you're willing to share a little bit about your experience, strength, and hope, we have done one annual newsletter. We hope to do another one. So we keep asking for stories. And if you do have a milestone coming up, like a 4-year milestone coming up in the very near future, I heard today. Here is a email to send your date and details to it, and we'll send you a chip. We'll send you your chip and celebrate that with you. And we'd love it. Oh my God, so exciting when somebody posts when one of their chips arrives in the WhatsApp groups, like, hey, we can all celebrate that. So it's good question. I'll come right back to it. Let me just finish that. We'll just finish the sponsor list here. If you are looking for a sponsor or you are willing to sponsor, we are trying to maintain our own sponsor list here. So you can email sponsor at oafootsteps.com. That's our Zelly right now that's doing that list. And this is our seventh tradition. And according to our seventh tradition, we are self-supporting through our own contributions. We have expenses like the Zoom platform, our webpage, domain, chip system, and contributions that go to Virtual Region World Service Office. But we're not expecting anybody that's brand new to us to contribute today unless they wish to. But that's the link there if they would like to do that. And that is our end of that. So you guys, the very first link I posted was the announcement, so you can get back to this, but just go to oafootsteps.com. And it's all there. So we'll get back to this one question about what is, I don't think we actually did that. We didn't, we have 2 minutes left. 1 minute each, how's that? Or 45 seconds. What is a non-real-time meeting versus a real-time meeting versus a Zoom meeting? Go, Colin.
I think Lisa runs more WhatsApp meetings than I do, so.
I'm in a lot of WhatsApp chats, and so I don't think we have a total handle on it, but a non-real-time meeting would be that you can share, and then people can respond to your share at their convenience. So it's not like right now we're in real time where you can have a chat and people are back and forth. But non-real time, people just get back to you whenever they want. And that non-real time meetings are in WhatsApp, but they're also in email loops as well. And so usually you have like a time period where you can get back to people. Online meetings, also there's text online meetings, which involve IRC, but those are in real time. And our Zoom meetings are in real time as well. I'm sorry. I know there's some other people.
I like Linda's definition there. Yeah, non-real time means there's
wonderful, no wonderful. Thank you so much. That's it. Done.
I was hoping Linda would jump in.
With that, I'm going to have to close the meeting, but we'll stick around for any last-minute questions after this meeting ends. So we just hit that time. And so, in closing, by following the 12 steps and attending meetings regularly and using the OA tools, we are changing our lives. You'll find hope and encouragement in Readers Anonymous. To the newcomer, we do suggest attending at least 6 different meetings, learn the many ways that OA can help you to recovery from compulsive eating. And information about these meetings can be found on oa.org. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please remember the commitment to honor each other's anonymity. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here, except that this is being recorded, so maybe that's not entirely applicable in this particular meeting. thank you for asking me to be your leader, and after a moment of silence, will those of you who wish, please join us in the OA promise. I put my hand in yours, and together we can do what we could never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, and you are so dearly worth it. Yay!